May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Six years ago, I was invited by Bishop Mary to really have a life-changing experience for myself. She asked if I would join a group of representatives from the Diocese of El Camino Real to join with a team that was being formed in the Diocese of Western Tanganyika in Tanzania and the Diocese of Gloucester in Gloucester, England. And this was a project called Indaba, which was funded by the Anglican Church. So it was a worldwide effort to get people within the Anglican Communion really getting into meaningful conversations with each other, not shooting missile letters back and forth, but actually living with each other and spending time enough to be able to have conversations about how Christianity is shaped and how it is witnessed in their countries today, and to really get a sense of the understanding behind those descriptions. So part of this involved there being presentations that were made by representatives from DWT, the Diocese of Western Tanganyika, and presentations by people from Gloucester, to really help us understand how their churches operated. So the first people who spoke to us in El Camino Real were from DWT. And what they described was a diocese that was bursting with growth. And the hunger for faith in Jesus was so strong and so active, they couldn't build new churches fast enough. And it reminded me of a particular view. I actually found the picture, and I have it up there on the screen, that describes some of this. They said that there were a number of churches in the diocese that the Sunday attendance was 800 or more. And I was asked to preach at the diocesan cathedral, which is in Kusulu, and a Sunday there is 1,500 people. And they would actually line up outside the doors to just try to hear part of the message. And so we took a tour through the countryside, and what I found was very interesting. You know, we work hard to have speakers in here to have nice music. What we would do when we arrived at one of these places, they'd find out they were setting up these huge grandstand speakers outside pointing towards the village. And they would start playing this music. And everybody in the village would know, okay, it's time to go to church. We're going to have fun and we're going to dance and we're going to see some, you know, have a great worship time and see some great dances and hear some great songs. And people would flood to the churches. This was a particular site that we visited where they were building a new church, and it just completely boggled my mind to see this process, because in the background you can see where they were actually forming the bricks into the shape of a brick of this clay mud, and then this line of women were carrying the bricks on their heads that were going to the construction site. Well, at the other end of this line were the guys. See, the girls are carrying the bricks. The guys are all standing around in a circle saying, well, the bricks are almost here. Do we want to build the building here or over there? Do we want to aim this way or do we want to aim this way? And they're figuring out, while the line is on its way to the men, you know, they're trying to figure out, where do we want the church built? See, there's no building permit. There's no environmental impact study. There's right, David, you're just shivering at this. They need some plans. There was no planning at all. No planning at all. And the churches we went into typically just had benches that you would see in a locker room, right? Just boards on cinder blocks, dirt floor, no windows, no doors, no heat, of course, but filled to capacity. And so this was a pretty exciting view. So then the people from Gloucester stood up and said, "Well, we have a different situation. For the last 25 to 30 years, our membership has declined. Our attendance on Sundays has declined. The attendance by children and by young adults has declined. There are historic properties that we're having to let go to other uses because we just can't afford to keep these old cathedrals anymore." And one of the people who stood up to speak was Canon Robert Springett, and he got to be a really close friend. He's now a bishop in Gloucester. And Bishop Robert said, "You know, we need to become a missional church again. The church cannot be in existence because everybody knows they're supposed to go to church, so you unlock the doors and it fills up. That's not how church operates. And we really need to communicate to everyone within our geography what makes us live our lives differently because we profess to be Christians. What is it about us that we are going to handle our day, the good things and the bad things, the decisions that we make, the priorities that we make? How do we do those things differently because we are Christian? How are we different because of our faith life?" Good question. On the day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, you read that scripture. I want to give it to you in another translation because I think this really conveys it in a more meaningful way for me. "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one I told you about. I didn't know he was the Messiah, but when I baptized him, I saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven like a dove. It came right down and landed right on his shoulder. I saw it with my own two eyes. And I'm telling you, this man is the Son of God." Now, does that sound like an eyewitness account? Yeah. So he wasn't preaching some sermon that he'd written the night before. He wasn't reading some manuscript that somebody else sent to him. He was just sharing what it meant to have God actively in his life, what it meant to have the light of Jesus living in him. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he was praising them for the great job that they were doing, giving testimony to Jesus. That's the words that are used in that scripture reading, giving testimony to Jesus. What he was saying was, hey, it's not just my job to carry the light of Christ to the world. It's your job too. It's everybody's job to carry the light of Christ and pass it forward. And Jesus sure said that in Matthew's gospel, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we all know that our job is to recognize Jesus is the light and our job is to carry that light. So that's an important symbol, this light of enlightenment, of our understanding. What is this other way of our looking at our existence, our creation, our purpose, what it means to worship a God who is actively engaged in ongoing creation? That is the light that Jesus brought. He's not a far-off power who wound up the earth and then walked away. God's engaged in our life. And that's the light that Jesus wanted to bring to us and make sure we knew about. Okay, so that's one symbol. Another really powerful symbol that John gives us for Jesus, he called Jesus the Lamb of God. Okay, so he was the light. He was also the Lamb of God. And that ties directly to Old Testament symbolism of the sacrificial lambs that were sacrificed on the altar in the temple twice a day, every day, year round. And that was a requirement in Old Testament Judaism to make those sacrifices of animals on the altar for atonement, for anything that they had done that would separate them from God in any way, to make that sacrifice. And what John is saying in the prologue of his gospel is, And in this passage that we read today, the temple's gone. The need for that sacrifice is also gone because Jesus did that for us for all time. And so it doesn't mean we stopped goofing up, but it means that anything that we would think would ever separate us from God, we can set aside because that will never happen. We are never separated from God. God constantly loves us and wants to nurture us. And so there are these two understandings of Jesus being the light and Jesus being the Lamb. And we're called, as I was telling you about this comment from Robert Springett, we're called to show how this makes us live life differently, how we are transformed. Transformed means being changed from the inside out, not just on the surface, but from the inside out being changed. That's what transformation is. So the question is, how do we walk that walk? How do we actually have that change the way we interact with what happens to us in life? So let me give you a few examples. One is when we feel angry. Maybe an obligation's been laid on us that means that we end up having to do that instead of something we really want to do, and we're upset. We're angry because we've had to put aside what we really want to do. We can remember the incident when the disciples yelled at the children who were trying to huddle around Jesus, right? And they were saying, "Get away from him. He's busy." And Jesus said, "Stop it." He stopped the disciples from treating the children like that. And what he did was he changed anger into peace. Anger into peace. And our anger can be changed into peace. It really is a choice we can make. Sometimes it's a hard choice, but we do have the choice to decide, I'm not going to accept anger. I'm going to accept peace in the way I deal with this situation. Another is when we feel sad. Yesterday, I attended and gave a homily at a funeral service for a really good friend of mine for many years. And I do feel sad to miss him and not have him around. Being a lamp can remind us how Jesus reacted when his friend Lazarus died. Jesus cried. And then Jesus resurrected him. And so there was a transition that Jesus showed us is possible to have sadness turn to comfort. There is a way to get comfort. Doesn't mean the sadness always goes away, but it can be less. And there can be a sense of more comfort. And so that's a way that we can look at the model of Jesus' life and say this is another way that we can carry that light. When we doubt ourselves, maybe somebody's depending on us to do something we've never done before. Being a lamp reminds us about Jesus' interaction with doubting Thomas. And that what Jesus did was rather than condemn him, rather than to embarrass him, rather than to cast him out from the close group, he gave Thomas a new form of faith. And I have to share in my faith journey, my understanding of God and the Son of God has really changed as I experience things in life and find out there are holes in how I've had them fit together. There are things that happen in my life that just don't make sense with what my faith was, and I've had to adjust my understanding of how I interact with God and how God interacts with me. And it's been a process for me to understand it. Well, another way to say that is I've found new faith. I've had to keep having a new iteration to my faith in order to see that, okay, my faith now seems to cover more of what I see actually happening in life so that my faith makes sense. When you worry about things going on in your life, maybe you have to get a new job, or maybe you know that you need to make your job better. Being a lamp, we can look at Jesus telling the crowd, don't be worried about tomorrow. The birds don't even worry about where their food's going to come from, and God cares for us much more than the birds. And so what Jesus was teaching us was that we do have the light within us so that we can transform worry into trust. worry into trust. And here's the last one. When we feel fear, when it's maybe our first day at work and a new job, being a lamp reminds us how Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. And so they were able to turn their fear into confidence. Okay, so we've talked about ways to address fear and sadness and doubt and worry. And these are all ways that we can recognize that what we learn from Jesus, what we have learned in Sunday school and we keep learning as adults, is how to integrate that into how we live our life in a way that's transformational, that we're changed from the inside out, that we react differently to what's going on around us because of the faith we carry in us. This is not just about us sharing beliefs with other people. It's about us showing the world how our belief changes the way we live. That's the real testimony, and that's what really carries the power to see that we live differently. When we look for Jesus and we ask for Jesus to be in our day, when we share experiences of Jesus as an eyewitness account, our faith really does change us from the inside out. And other people see the light and they come to know the Lamb for themselves. One last point about Tanzania. Bishop Sadok Makaya is the bishop of DWT. And in this conference that we had with him, he said, you know, I really think one of the things that DWT could do is to send missionaries to the United States. And that really shook us, right? Because we all grow up thinking, okay, we got to send missionaries to Africa, right? That's how we're going to be real Christians. We'll end up sending them to Africa. Wants to come here to show us how to be excited about our faith, how to walk the walk, how to recognize the light of Christ and Christ being the Lamb of God. You and I are called to be the lamps to carry the light. You and I have already been adopted as siblings of the Lamb of God. Consider how you can make that light visible to everybody you meet. Amen. Amen.